he commits particular action and there is a reaction. And this reaction further binds the living entity into this material condition and creates more conditioning. In this way, the living entity develops more unnecessary desires and he gets trapped into this cycle of action and reaction. So another person, he can see this and he understands how his living entities are actually forced to act helplessly and they are performing sinful activities helplessly. And he also knows that the actual doer is the most of material nature. Prakriti kriya manani gunami kalpani sarvashaha ahankara vibhudatma kalkamu iti manyate. So the actual doer is the material nature. Therefore, whenever he sees someone committing sinful activities, a real devotee, a pure devotee, does not hate or feel disgusted of the person, rather he feels compassionate. Ordinarily, it is easy to feel compassion to those who are suffering, but usually we don't find it common to feel compassion to the person who is inflicting the pain. But if we look at it carefully, we will find that both suffering and committing sinful activities are just different sides of the same coin. One person is planting the seed and another person is reaping the food. One person is suffering now and another person is just going to suffer sooner or later. Therefore, a real pure devotee, he feels compassionate for both of them. Okay, what is the meaning of compassion? We have used the word few times. Compassion does not mean that when we see something that is sad, we feel sad and then we go back home, close the door, go to a corner and we cry and feel sad. That is sentiment. That is not compassion. The real compassion is explained by Prabhupada in one of his letters to his disciples. I just read the letter. This letter explains the concept of sin, sinner and compassion. The Prabhupada says, Lord Jesus Christ says, you hate the sin, not the sinner. This is very nice. Because the sinner is in illusion. He is bad. Therefore, those who are devotees, those who are real servants of God, they have no hate for anyone. Lord Jesus Christ, when he was being crucified, he requested, my Lord, please excuse them. They do not know what they are doing. This is the position of the devotee. So this Krishna conscious influence is so nice that there is no question of hating. Everyone is welcome. Please come here, chant Hare Krishna, take prasadam, and hear some philosophy from Bhagavad Gita, and try to rectify your conditioned life. This is the program, Krishna consciousness. Lord Chaitanya introduced this. Yami Deka Tati Kaha Krishna Upadesha. Whomever you meet, wherever you meet, simply try to teach him Krishna consciousness, Krishna Tapa, words from Lord Krishna. You will be happy and they will be happy. So this is the meaning of compassion. That we share the knowledge by which a sinful person can come out from his sinful activities and come to a better, improve the quality of his life. Okay, so because of this, a learned person doesn't see a sinful person as their enemy, rather he sees all living entities as his friend. In Bhagavatam, Parikshit Maharaj, who is the grandchild of Arjuna, before he was leaving this world, he will be praying to the devotees. He will be praying for three things. He will request that if ever he takes birth again in this world, I want three things. One, with the Supreme Lord, he wants to have a strong attachment, strong attraction. Second, with the devotee, he wants to have a very loving association. And with all the other humanities, he wants to have friendly relationship. Okay. This friendly relationship does not mean the social relationship where we put our arms together, go around, enjoy and have fun. That is not what Parikshit Maharaj means. And wherever Prabhupada explains friendship, this is not what Prabhupada explains. A real friend is he who is really concerned about our well-being and who is genuinely and eagerly trying to bring us out from the miserable condition of life. That is real friend. and re-establish friendship with someone by sharing and encouraging each other in emotional service. Okay, I read it's just a short purpose in, of that verse that Prabhupada explains the meaning of friendship. Okay, Prabhupada says that a devotee of the Lord is no one's enemy, although there may be many enemies of a devotee. A devotee of the Lord does not like to associate with non-devotee, although he has no enmity with them. He desires association with the devotees of the Lord. This is perfectly natural because birds of same feather mix together. And the most important function of a devotee is to have complete attachment for Lord Krishna, the father of all living beings. As a good son of the Lord behaves in a friendly way with all other brothers, so also the devotee of the Lord, being a good son of the Supreme Father Lord Krishna, sees all other living beings in relation with the Supreme Father. He tries to bring back the upstart sons of the Father to a cleaner stage and to get them to accept the Supreme Fatherhood of God. So this is the meaning of friendship. And Prabhupada also explains in chapter 11, verse 55, similar meaning of friendship, and he says he gives three examples of personalities who have acted in this friendly way. The examples Prabhupada gave was Prahlad Maharaj, Lord Jesus, and Haridas Thakur. All these three personalities, they have actually risked their own life for the sake of propagating this devotional service, Krishna consciousness or God consciousness. So that is real friendship. And we can also see from the life of Prabhupada himself how he behaved. At the age of 69, Prabhupada had retired from family life and he was staying in the most holiest place in the world. He was staying in Vrindavan. But due to this friendship character of Prabhupada, this friendly nature of Prabhupada, he went to the United States and there he stayed in the most abominable area where a place which is filled with sinful people, where people were committing sinful activities such as drug addiction, alcoholism, and all these type of activities. And in such a place, Prabhupada exhibited his quality of friendship. Those people who stayed there with Prabhupada may not have understood the philosophy of Bhagavad Gita which Prabhupada was discussing, but they very well understood Prabhupada's pure intention and Prabhupada's loving nature. And because of this, they were willing to give their life for Prabhupada. But Prabhupada never abused their trust. Prabhupada encouraged them in devotional service, and in this way, these people who were addicted to sinful characters slowly became free from all these sinful activities. And eventually, they learned Bhagavad Gita, they came back to India, and they taught Indians about this knowledge of Bhagavad Gita. So this is the real nature of friendship. It doesn't only help others, it's in fact infectious. Okay, next we'll see how a devotee behaves, reacts when a pain is inflicted to that devotee. When someone causes pain to the devotee, a devotee does not accuse the person and see him as the enemy. A devotee understands that everyone is suffering because of his own mistake. Therefore, I am suffering because of what I have done. He never blames others and points fingers to others and say, because this person didn't do this and that person didn't do that, or the circumstances or the parents are moving in the wrong direction. So a devotee doesn't blame all these things. He understands that all these are different agents by which he is getting the pain, but the cause is himself. Okay? And if we go a bit more detail into this subject, the devotee also further understands that if someone is inflicting pain towards himself, that activity must have been sanctioned by Krishna. And if Krishna sanctions a particular activity, it must be for my good. So devotee has full conviction in this. If Krishna is giving something to me, it has to be for my own benefit. This good may come in the form of a slap or in the form of a warm hug. But in both cases, the devotee understands that it is a blessing. Okay? Of course, the slap will be painful. another one would be pleasurable. But pain or pleasure is good to understand. It's for my own good and individually satisfied. And this character is shown by the personality of religion in Bhagavatam. 5,000 years ago, when the Kali Yuga began, the personality of Kali was actually increasing pain to the personality of religion. And at that time, the emperor of the world was Parikshit Maharaj. So when he noticed this, he requested the personality of religion to explain what had happened. But the personality of religion will refuse to accuse anyone for his pain. And in that purpose, Prabhupada explained that the devotee sees everything as God sent. Long again, that is God sent. And in this way, he feels satisfied with his happy, with his life. Whatever condition Krishna puts him in, he is satisfied. That's what Prabhupada is explaining here. He gets food or he doesn't get food. He lives under a tree or in a perishable building. In either case, a devotee is satisfied. And satisfaction naturally leads to happiness in life. Therefore, in conclusion, a devotee, he performs his duty and activities perfectly and expertly, but whatever comes after that, he leaves what the result to Krishna, and whatever comes as a result, he is completely satisfied. So that is the nature of a devotee. Okay. Next, we'll see what is the important characteristic to have this quality of equanimation, equanimity. The important, the basis of equal vision is to be devoid of sense gratification. One who is indulging in sense gratification cannot see others with equal vision. He can only see with the equal vision of exploitation. He'll only see how I can exploit, I can drag down that person and gain benefits from that. Okay? Gain benefits for myself or people who are related to me. It could be my family, my society, my country, but things that are related to me, me and mine. That is the meaning of sense gratification. Okay, now, in our life, we need to have motivation to work. We can't work without motivation. So, if we really look at it, there can only be two motivations. One is to satisfy Krishna, or to satisfy me and my people. So, for one who doesn't have devotion to Krishna, there's only one option. He can only work with the motivation that I want to satisfy me and my people. And this is sense gratification. And that is why Prabhupada says here that without good qualification or with sense gratification, one cannot become a pure devotee. And then Prabhupada continues to say, one who is not a devotee has no good qualification because he is indulging in sense gratification. Once I was talking to one of my colleagues in the real domain, and he told me that when he was young, his parents actually taught him that if you grow up, his parents taught that to survive in this world, you have to be smart. You have to know how to exploit people. Sometimes you have to be cunning. Sometimes you have to learn how to cheat. For a while, I was taken aback because usually parents don't teach this type of thing. And then I thought for a while, and I thought actually it makes sense. In this world, if we don't be a bit bad, we are trying to be very good, people will take advantage of us and just thank us. So it makes sense that we have to be a bit, we have to compromise a bit on the qualities to survive in the world. But when we see from the vision of a devotee, it is quite different. A devotee is not naive. He doesn't think that the world is perfect. He knows the world is not very safe. He knows that if today I do good, tomorrow it will be forgotten. Today if I give my best to the world, they will still claim it is not sufficient. If I try to be kind, some people will say I am trying to be diplomatic and having some ulterior motive. Okay, he knows this, but he also knows that the final analysis is not between him and the world, it is between him and Krishna. It was never between him and the world, and it will never be between earth and the world. So, he is not so much affected by the reactions of the world. He is being good because he knows that Krishna is happy if he is good, and that's all. He wants to please Krishna, he knows he can't please the world. So this is the reason a devotee is trying to be good. So for non-devotees, So the important point is, it is not that Lord devotees doesn't have good qualities. They may have, some of them have a lot of good qualities. But without a strong spiritual basis, the qualities are not secure. It's mainly because this world does not really appreciate good qualities. It does not promote good qualities. We would have experienced it when we can see children are very innocent. As they grow up, they develop improper qualities, and from where they develop these qualities, that is from the influence of the world. So that is the nature of the world. On the other hand, Krishna is someone who really encourages and appreciates good qualities. Therefore, it is easier to develop these qualities if we do it for the sake of Krishna rather than trying to be good for the sake of the world. Usually we become frustrated. That is why in Bhagavatam chapter 6, the chapter where description of the islands of Jambudvip, Pralad Maharaj is praying and is telling this, Hava Abhaktasya Kuto Mahat Gunai. Without being a devotee, one cannot have good qualities. Okay, now, one question may arise. We may say that we want to be good for Krishna. That's fine. That means, after this life, Krishna will be happy with us. But how about in this life? Wouldn't we be losers? Would we lose to those materialists who are trying to exploit us? So to understand this, we should understand that when we try to please Krishna, Krishna is not going to sit quietly over there. He is also going to reciprocate. So when we try to be good with Krishna, Krishna will try to give us all the necessary intelligence so that we can be very expert in this world and we can be successful in this world without compromising on the quality. Krishna will also remove all the unnecessary obstructions and He gives us all the protection so that we can continue to survive in this world successfully. A very striking example that struck me when I was reading this part was the event of the Jung temple. Some of us might have heard it. During Prabhupada's time, Prabhupada had the desire and he promised to Krishna that he is going to build a huge temple for Krishna in Johor. So at that time the devotees bought a land in Johor and the land happened to be belonging to a company who is a real chief. So the company took the money from Prabhupada's disciples and they were refusing to give the land. They want more money. But throughout the incident, I won't go into the details. Generally, throughout the incident, we can see how expertly Prabhupada dealt. Every step Prabhupada took was so perfect that they managed to return the land. And this intelligence is given by Krishna because Prabhupada was pure in his nature. And not only that, Krishna also protected from so many dangers. For example, once there was many situations that very circumstantially Krishna protected. There was a court case. If the court case was on that day, most likely devotees would have dropped it. But Krishna made it on a Friday or something like that. So the devotees had 2 days to make all the preparations and they won the case. And not only that, those company people didn't leave, they continued to carry on. And once there was the main guy, who actually, he lived very harshly with Prabhupada and he threatened Prabhupada. And what happened was, within a week, he had heart attack and he passed away. And not only that, there was another guy who was very, very envious of Prabhupada and he was trying to do some black magic against Prabhupada. And what happened? The black magic backfired him and he self burned himself and he died a very miserable death. And there was another person, he was very influential and he thought that he can use his influence to brainwash all the other people who were supporting Prabhupada, all the well-wishers of Prabhupada, and ask them not to support Prabhupada. So what he did was, one day he invited all of them to his home and he was prepared to propagate against Srila Prabhupada. But unfortunately or fortunately, on that day morning, he could not get up from his bed. He was paralyzed for his life. So this is how Krishna protects the devotees. Whoever tries to harm the devotees, Krishna takes care. Therefore, a devotee has no worry. He simply tries to please Krishna. Okay, at the same time, you also have to see Prabhupada's nature. While Krishna gave harm to all of them, Prabhupada never for a while saw them as an enemy. Okay, at the end of the episode, the wife of the bank life, she realizes not only did many bad things happen in their family, but she realizes what a great thing they are doing all the while for your person. So she finally came to Prabhupada and she asked for forgiveness. But Prabhupada had asked completely no any issue with her. He immediately accepted her as how her father would accept her daughter. This is the nature of a devotee. He is very pure and he has no any enmity. Okay? So here we can see that if we try to be good for Krishna, Krishna will protect us and then we will be happy both in this world and in the next world. Okay. So the next important part is then the last line Prabhupada is saying, okay, how to develop these qualities. With all this understanding, we may be able to appreciate these qualities, or we may be able to admire those people who possess these qualities. But it is not very likely that we can immediately artificially gain these qualities. We cannot go today and you will artificially feel, okay, my enemies are my friends. It won't work. So Prabhupada is explaining the last line of the purpose. And I think this is one of the most important lines in the entire chapter. That a devotee does not extraneously endeavor to acquire this qualification, but engagement in devotion, Krishna consciousness or devotional service automatically helps him develop that. So this is the process. In chapter 14, verse 26, Krishna is saying, Mākṣāyo vyabhācāvina bhakti yogena sevate sa gunan samati kyaitan brahma bhoyaya kalpate. So Krishna is saying how devotional service should be performed and what is the effect of devotional service. Devotional service should be performed in the mode of avyabhācāvina, which means a devotee should be changed. In other words, we cannot say that today I serve Krishna, tomorrow I serve my senses for another 5 days, and then I come back and serve Krishna. That is not charity. A devotee should serve Krishna under all circumstances, under all conditions. That is avyabhācāvina bhakti. And if he does that, then he can come out from this most of material nature and he attains the stage called Brahma Bhuta. And the stage of Brahma Bhuta is further explained as Brahma Bhuta Prashadatma Na Sochati Na Kamshati Shubhashubha Bhavityadi Matthamsi Dhamate Bhagam. Which means basically Brahma Bhuta is a state where a devotee can see everything in an equal vision and is not disturbed by happiness and distress. And another important thing is, after attaining this quality, what he does? He continues with his devotional service. Okay? There are some philosophers who say that devotional service is like a thorn. You know, thorn? So, when our day is quick with one thorn, we use another thorn to root the thorn. And after that, what we do with this thorn? We just throw it away and we walk. So this type of philosophy actually breaks the heart of a genuine devotee, because it really brings down bhakti to Krishna. It makes bhakti to Krishna as something that we use and throw, like a tissue paper, use and throw. So a devotee never listens to such philosophy. And even we would, if someone develops a relationship with us and then it leaves after he gains something, that would really pain us. So this type of philosophy and understanding also and practice also pains Krishna. If we do devotion just to gain something and then leave to a devotion, that is not good. That is why all Vaishnava Acharyas, especially Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, has said, Mayavadi Vasu Sunile. Mayavadi Vasya Sunile Haya Sarva Nasha. Which means the practice of bhakti or any philosophy that says that Krishna's devotion is just another temporary form of activity that is meant for particular result and then you leave it. Someone who speaks such philosophies, we have to be careful. If one gives our reception to such persons, especially when we talk about devotion and Krishna, then that would destroy our devotion. Okay, so this is another type of association that one should avoid because it contaminates our devotion. Okay, so this brings us to the point that devotional service should be performed without any ulterior motive. Strictly speaking, devotional service should not be performed even for the purpose of gaining purification. No doubt devotees want to become purified, but they want to become purified because they know that by using purified senses, purified mind and purified heart, they can give much better quality devotion to Krishna. They can perform devotional service much better, and for this reason they want to become purified, not just for the sake of purification. Okay, so Ajna Vilasita Sunyam Jnana Karma Anaroitam Anukulyanam Krishnan Silanam Bhakti Uttamam, that is pure devotion, to be performed well without any other motive. And this devotion starts, this pure devotional service starts when we have faith in the process and in Krishna. And once we have a little faith, then we come and we associate with the devotee. And in the association of the devotee, we learn how to perform this devotional service. We get inspired and we learn how to perform this devotional service. And then what we do is, we use these centers, which have been used for so many lifetimes for many other services. Now we use these centers to serve the person who has given us the center, that is Krishna. So the devotee engages in devotional service. And by using these centers to serve Krishna, the devotee slowly gets purified from all the sinful characters and he develops his good character. And as a result, his conviction towards Krishna becomes very strong. And then the devotee attains taste for devotional service. Okay? This stage is called as Uchi. And here the devotee performs devotional service more spontaneously. And finally the stage, he comes to a higher and higher stage and he comes to a pure devotional platform where the devotee feels the breeze of devotional service every moment and he cannot eat without Krishna even a second. So that is the ultimate goal. But to achieve that goal, we have to do, the main thing that we have to do is sincere endeavor. Krishna sees our sincere endeavor, and the best way to endeavor this age and age is by chanting Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So it is stated in the scriptures, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Hare Rama Iva Kevalam, Kalau Nasteva Nasteva, Nasteva Gati Anyajaha. It is repeated again and again that in this Kaliyuga especially, there is no other way, no other way, no other way of deliverance except by chanting the names of Krishna. So, to begin this process, all we need to do is allocate a small portion of our day, maybe 10 minutes, 15 minutes or 20 minutes, whatever is possible for us every day. And we speak and we chant these names of Krishna and we concentrate. If we want to develop this quality, it is a must. We have to begin with this. And when we do this, eventually, actually not, when we do this, within a few days, we will see the transformation in our life. And we will give so much conviction that this process works. And then, we can slowly develop it up to the point we achieve all the good qualities and pure devotional service. Hare Krishna. Any questions, comments, realizations, Krishna?
Thank you very much for the wonderful class. It was very clear and finally I can say that I understood the verse. Thank you very much. With your permission, Prabhu, I would just like to share something which I heard from Guru Maharaj with regards to this verse. Maharaj was actually saying that if you look at the verse, it says that one who is equal to friends and enemies, equipoise in honor and dishonor, heat and cold, happiness and distress, fame and infamy. So all this, Maharaj was saying that it's actually duality of the material world. So duality of material world comes about because of interaction of material material elements. So because this material element interacts, there is duality. So if you look at it, the major portion of this duality interaction comes between living entities. And Maharaj was quoting this verse 7:13:42. In the second line of the verse, Maharaj was quoting Svabhava Vishamam Janam. In that word for word translation, Prabhupada translates Svabhava Vishamam as contradicting. That means Svabhava Vishamam Janam means everyone in this material world are of contradicting characters. And in the translation, he writes that different people are of different mentalities. So because of the interaction, Krishna has created this elements, this interaction also he has created through time. And through this interaction, he has created this variegatedness. Maharaj used the word variegatedness. That means Krishna has created this variegatedness in material world, and this variegatedness also exists in spiritual world. This variegatedness is created for the pleasure of the Lord. And what Maharaj was saying is like what you were saying, Prabhu, that is how equality comes. One who accepts the variegatedness of Krishna, who really loves Krishna, he will engage that variegated nature in Krishna's service. What Maharaj was saying is if there is a temple, Maharaj was quoting Prabhupada actually, but he was saying that if there is a temple and many devotees, many living entities come into the temple and all of them have different mentalities, contradicting characters. But what Prabhupada did when they entered the temple is that everyone gets a different service. And in that service, Krishna is pleased because it's all different variety. The variety that Krishna created is engaged back in Krishna's service. And Maharaj said that no one, say Prabhupada didn't say that I am the perfectionist. That means if I decorate this portion of the temple, then it would look nice because I know best. If Prabhupada had said that, then Krishna wouldn't have been pleased. The movement wouldn't have been created because Krishna was pleased and we wouldn't be sitting here. That's what Maharaj was saying. So, Prabhupada recognized that it is not a matter of being a perfectionist or being someone. Someone means one person, ignoring the fact that there is variety in this material world. So what Prabhupada did was he really loved Krishna. Maharaj said he really loved Krishna, so he took that variety. So anyone who came into the temple, whether they were good or not, even Prabhupada was best at cooking, Prabhupada was best at giving class, he was best at everything, administration, everything. But he sent out those living entities who were actually below par or average or just above average, but definitely below Prabhupada. But because he engaged each and every one of them without saying that I am the perfectionist, that is why Krishna was pleased, and that is why till today Maharaj says the movement, this movement is still carrying on, and around the world this movement is spreading. So Maharaj was saying about this verse is that this duality which is born because of Krishna's creation, Krishna's intention to create this variety, and if we engage this variety back in His service, then Krishna's love, the devotee's love for Krishna is then seen, and when Krishna is pleased because of this variety, then He blesses the devotees and everything carries on. Thank you very much.
I just want to share something about the. I didn't tell this because I'm scared we may not have enough time. This I heard from one of my friends about how many entities are forced to act as the same. So there was actually a study done in one of the universities, I think University of California, if I'm not mistaken, where they wanted to see how some people, for example, in detention camps or sometimes places like prisoners are kept, they are really tortured, and the person tortured acts very bad from the human standard. So what they did is they took some college students and they made a case study. They made some people as the detention police and others as the prisoners. And then we put them together, they made all the situations favorable for that. And surprisingly, they found after some time, the prisoners were really behaving as prisoners. Some were even attempting to commit suicide. And the persons who were at the police, they were really behaving like animals. Sorry, I'm not referring to all the police. So in the conclusion, they found that human being acts helplessly according to the material needs or according to the circumstances. But one who can come out of this, they call is a hero, is H-E-R-O. So that just reminded me of the verse, first verse of Nectar of Instruction, where it says that one who can control all these urges of material nature, he is known as the Goswami, he can encounter as anyone. So, Hare Krishna.
Srimad Bhagavad Gita ki.